dear friends of ours. I bring greetings from our church in Port Kennedy, the C3 Mandra Church, C3 Port Kennedy Church, Pastor Claude Carella, who's our senior pastor there. I'm in part of the team there, going around evangelizing and involved in missions work. When Pastor asked me to preach at the end of last month while he was away, I prepared a message, but I'm not going to share that message with you today. I'm going to share something else because, did you go into my notes this morning? Yeah. Then how did you know I was going to talk about what you prophesied over? Only God can do that, isn't it? So that was confirmation that what I was going to share with you this morning is confirmation of what God wants us to do. Now, before I get there, I'm going to spend 5 minutes and share my testimony with you. On the 13th of February, 1996, way back in South Africa, I had a tragic accident where I fell through a building 15 meters, smashed my back in two, broke my vertebra, my spinal cord, spinal column, at T12 L1, shattered it, broke it. I became paralyzed from here down. I was in a wheelchair for 4 years. After that incident, I'm going to cut this into a very short nutshell. But the next time I come here, when I do a healing ministry, I'll give you the in-depth of that complete testimony. I'm going to do this just in a nutshell. And when I fell, I had two surgeries prior to the one that I took place on the 10th of October, 1996. And while I was on the operating table, while the doctors were busy with me at 3 o'clock that afternoon, around about 20 to 9 that evening, while the doctors were busy in the surgery, they punctured my lung and I physically died on the operating table. My spirit left my body and I went, kept moving out. I saw my family, I saw the church people, 200 people around the bed, around the ward, around the hospital, praying for me. My spirit left, I went into heaven, spent 2 hours in heaven. Heaven is beautiful. What the Bible speaks about in Revelation is the touch of what you will see when you get to heaven. And let me tell you this, heaven is real. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you otherwise. Heaven is real. I walked into heaven. I saw some of the people that I buried at funerals. I saw some of my relatives waving at me. But they couldn't talk to me because I was still not in that spiritual body just yet. And as I kept going, I walked up one flight of stairs, walked down another one, walked down a long corridor. I saw these two magnificent doors that were slightly open. And there was this bright, magnificent light coming out through that door. And through that door, there were two angels at the bottom and two angels on the top, singing and shouting and waving their wings, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I knew I was in the throne room of God. As I got closer and closer to that door, the angels blocked me with their wings. But I heard a voice from the back of that door call my name, "Lazarus, Lazarus, what are you doing here?" And there was this pause. I was going to turn and walk away because I was going to expect the words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." But rather he said to me, this is what God said to me. He says, "Put out your hands." I put out my hands and God gave me four gifts that night in heaven. The gift of healing, the gift of discernment, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of deliverance. And I came back 2 hours later into my body and I spent the next 4 months lying flat on my back and I couldn't move. Until the 16th of December that very same year, when I confronted God and I said to God, "If you don't give me back my legs..." I was still paralyzed, even though I came back from heaven. And I said to God, "If you don't give me back my legs, I will commit suicide." And God, that time, tested me. Something happened on that particular day. I'm not going to share that with you today. But the next time I come around, I'll share it with more in depth. But something happened that day. It was that one defining moment that changed my life. And from that day, on the 1st of January 2000 till today, I walk. As you see, I stand before you. I've traveled practically 75% of the world preaching and teaching and telling people and seeing healings and deliverance take place. But there's something that's happened. In the last 3 years, God has taken me away from preaching and He's preserved me for a reason. And I believe 2013 is going to be a year of a phenomenal move in God's presence in my life. Where God's going to travel, it's going to make me travel through the world, preaching and teaching people. Now, this morning, I'm going to share with you a message that God has laid upon my heart. I don't know how you got into my notes, but you did. We allow circumstances as setbacks in our lives to bring us to a place where it dictates the way we live. Isn't that true? How many of you are seated here this morning, you've got problems, difficulties, disappointments? You're sitting here, you're going through a divorce. You've just lost your job. Your house is about to be repossessed. Your cars have been taken away from you. The doctors now declared upon you a sickness and an illness that you think is a death warrant. How many of you are here this morning? Come on, slip up your hand. Well, I'm going to talk to every one of us. And I pray that this morning, this message will be a touch to touch your life. A setback is a setup for a comeback. You didn't hear what I said. I said a setback is a setup for a comeback. Whatever you're going through this morning is a setup. You want to put that up on the board, please, young lady? Whatever it is that you're going through, that setback should not set you back in a place where you don't know who your God is. Isn't that right? We serve a living God. A God that hears and answers our prayers. He's a God that knows what you're going through. But the only problem that we have with this is that this God that we have is not the God that has put that setback into your life. I've heard people say, well, God is putting me through this test and that's why I'm going through this. Nonsense. God does not put you through that test. But let me say this, whatever it is that you're going through this morning is a setup for your comeback. To bring you back to where you should be and the possible person that God has made you to be. Amen? How many of you know the lady Lucille Ball? The fantastic comedy woman that had I Love Lucy, the show I Love Lucy. Do you know when Lucille set out to start her business, and when she went into the industry, one of the executives said to her, you don't have any talents, I'm going to fire you. And he fired her. A fantastic young lady. But you see, unfortunately, with this happening in her life, she went home, her husband and her sat down. They did not allow that setback of losing her position to dictate where she was going to go. But that became the setup for Lucille to borrow some money from somebody. She never even had the money. She borrowed the money and started her own little show. And she called it, I Love Lucy. How many of you have seen that movie? And let me tell you what, wasn't it good? She became a phenomenal. Everybody loved Lucy. Everybody knew something. She became a multimillionaire. Why? Purely because she didn't allow that setback to dictate her comeback. Amen? Martin Luther King Jr., 26 years old, in Alabama. I think it was Alabama. Let me just check that. Montgomery, Alabama, at the time. He was 26 years old, just in a little church. The people got together and said to him, Pastor, we want you to lead our protest against the buses. The people with the state that we've got a problem with. That defining moment in Martin Luther's life changed him and he became a person to be recognized and every one of us know what he's gone and achieved. Did that setback in his life when he was that young age change him? No, it inspired him. It changed him to become somebody that knew what he was going to do and where he was going to go. Let's look at another one, Apostle Paul. The Bible says it was Apostle Saul. It was Saul at the time. When Saul had this experience on the Damascus Road, he was going to persecute Christians. And let me tell you this, church, many of us are being persecuted right now. We're going through some real trying times. We're going through some real experiences. We're in the Saul camp at the moment. And somehow it seems as if everybody around us is persecuting us. And when Paul went through that experience, that defining moment, that 1 minute in his life when he became blind, that was the turning point in Saul's life when he became Paul and became a powerful witness. And we have so many books written by this man because it was that moment. What if Saul at that time knew he was blind and said to his soldiers, take me back to the main camp, leave me there, don't touch me, and just let me sit and grope and moan because now I'm blind, I can't do anything. You see, blindness is not death. Your situation, your setback is not death. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something new to start. Amen? Let me give you another one more. The woman with the issue of blood, for 12 long years, this woman suffered. Pastor, she tried every doctor. She tried every hospital. She went everywhere. We don't have 12 minutes of a problem and we want to give up. We have 12 days of an issue in our life and we want to throw in the towel. 12 months of an issue in our lives and we want to quit church. We want to quit everything else and go into a camp of depression. But this woman strived and pushed along for 12 long years.
until she heard that Jesus was coming her way. That defining moment in her life is when she touched the hem of his garment and she received that healing. A setback is a setup for your comeback. One more. The man at the pool of Bethesda. Every time the waters moved, people would get healed. But unfortunately, this man just sat there and nobody was there to push him into the water when the ripples came about. I suppose every time the movement took place, this man became so despondent, so depressed, so discouraged, like so many of us, waiting for those moves, special spiritual moves in our lives. And it doesn't happen until somebody pushes us in. But you know what? His defining moment came that day when the waters touched him and he became healed again. What do I do with where I am at present? Let me ask you this. How many of you are satisfied with where you are? How many of you are happy with what you've got? One. Anybody else? How many? Two. Anybody else? Three. Come on, I'll get more. How many of you are happy with what you've got? How many of you are just satisfied in living in the land of just enough? Just enough, Pastor. You know, we'll just make it through this month, you know. I sometimes have just more month than the month end. Because physically, spiritually, whatever it is, how many of you are happy that you're just there? You know, you could just make that month. Or you just make the week, you know. You just go through. How many of you are happy with that? Or how many of you would be happy with a little bit more that will just turn us over? How many of you would be, there we go, a little bit more, that's a little better. How many of you would be happy with more than enough? Because more than enough, it'll mean that I'll be able to give somebody else something else. You see, but the setback in our lives somehow brings us to a place where we feel as if though I don't have enough in me for myself. How am I going to give somebody else? But this morning, I want to bring you to a place. And I want to give you a formula. And the formula is called the VDAD formula. Young lady, would you put that up, please? The VDAD formula. Now, you're probably looking at it and thinking, but what is the VDAD formula? What is the VDAD formula? The V in VDAD formula is vision. The power of vision. If you can see where you're at and what's bothering you, we need to deal with that. Amen? Now, you're probably looking at me and saying, but hang on a moment, how can I see where I'm at? It's easy. Where you've been and where you've come from will show you what you've done in between those two points. Isn't that right? Some of us have left Malaysia, some of us have left China, some of us left Japan, some of us have left Singapore, and we're in Australia. And how far have you advanced? Have you retrogressed or have you progressed? How many of you have progressed? Acquired more. Seems spiritually you've changed. Your life has changed. You've acquired more assets. And seems as though your life has changed. Now, when you look back, do you regret your decision of moving forward? No, you don't. But in a setback, in a situation where you feel as if though you know that this position is holding you down, you need to have the power of vision to see where you're going and what you've done. Because what you've done will dictate what you're going to do to change that. The power of vision means that you need to see where you are. And in this formula, as you can see, this formula of vision determines your decision. This place where you're at the moment, when you see what you're going through, will allow you to make a decision of whether you want to stay there or you want to move on. That's why I asked you, how many of you are happy with just enough? What are you going to do? Do you sit at this chair every Sunday? Would you wake up, please, man? Take your Bible with you. There's a chair at the back there. Would you feel comfortable sitting there? But you see, I'm moving you out of your comfort zone. Is it your decision? Is it her decision? No. It's my decision. I want to move out of this situation to the other one, isn't it? But can she see herself moving out there? No. Because she's comfortable. That's where she wants to be. Thank you, ma'am. You see, in situations where you are, you need to see yourself moving out of that vice that is holding you down. That depression that's holding you down. That disappointment that's pulling you down. The doctors that have told you that you've got cancer and you're a gone case. You need to see yourself moving out of that situation into where you want to go. The power of vision will determine your decision on where you want to go. Amen? And the problem with vision is, I wrote a little saying here that I want to share with you. I think it's so powerful when I saw this. It says this. Helen Keller is one of those writers that I read quite a bit about. And she said this, is there anything worse than blindness? And her answer was, yes, eyesight with no vision. Is there anything more worse than having vision and you cannot see? Now, I'm a very positive person. When the doctors told me that I'll sit in the wheelchair for the rest of my life, I saw myself in my spirit man playing golf. I saw myself fixing motor cars. I saw myself walking. I saw myself fishing for game fish. I saw myself traveling on an airplane. But here was I sitting on a wheelchair, paralyzed from here down, and I couldn't move. But the power of vision that was inside of my mind determined my motion and my decision to get out of that wheelchair and to do something more constructive with my life. Amen? You see what happens, Pastor? When the doctor diagnoses something, at the end of that diagnose, you somehow feel there's a word called D-E-A-T-H. Death. But all he did was diagnose that you've got a problem. Isn't that right? All the bank said was that you don't have any finance. Does that mean the end? Does it? When you have disappointment, is that the end? When you have discouragement, is that the end? No. It is the beginning of a comeback, and the setback that you've had is what she said this morning, is you do not allow your external situation to determine your spiritual advancement in God. Why do we get there? How is it possible that we get to this place where we can't move out of it? You see, when I looked at the Webster's dictionary about the word called setback, these were some of the things that came up. An unexpected reverse, a defeat, a hindrance, a delay, a disadvantage, a disappointment, a hold-up or a rebuff, an upset, a loss or a relapse. But nowhere in that description of the word setback is the word death or end. I went through the dictionary and I found this word and I said, but hang on a moment. What that word means, a setback means not the end. It is only a setup for your comeback. It is a setup. How many times have you heard people say to you, it's a setup? The power of vision. Man is only limited by the audacity of his imagination. Amen? How many of you can really have a big imagination? You really can visualize things big. In South Africa, I worked for a company for about 18, 19 years. And one morning in July, the boss came in and said, listen, I don't need your services anymore. And strange enough, Pastor, that month before this thing happened, I was sitting in a conference, a prophetic conference, and one of the men said to me, God wants you to start your own business. I said, me? Start my own business? So I went home and I said to my wife, this is what God wants me to do. I registered a company. Got it all set up. Got it all going. And at the end of that same month after I got the prophecy, this man came and told me that you've lost your job. I've got a brand new BMW as a company car. The installments at the time was 4,500 rands. Got a mortgage to pay on my house. We got children in school. How do I manage? Quite a big salary I was earning at the time. But this setback was a setup for my own business. I got home that same afternoon. I said to my wife, I've just lost my job. She says, well, downstairs is a study. Clean up the study. Let's put up our desk and we'll start our own business. And we started our own business. 3 years later, we were debt free. My one daughter worked for me. And we had other people working for us. We had two trucks. We had all our vehicles paid for. And we were riding around debt free. Did that setback change my life? Yes, it did. But it set it further forward. You see, when you have a vision with an imagination, you can achieve what God has placed in your hands. Amen? Amen? Now, are you satisfied with the vision that you have? Or can you imagine bigger than that? The children are growing up. The 3-bedroom, 2 bathrooms is not good enough anymore. We need a 4x2. But you know what? We can't afford it. What the Word of God teaches me is that if I can visualize my imagination to see myself moving into a bigger house, God will make the provision. But the determining factor in that is that you need to be faithful with what God called you to do. Be faithful in little things and God will take you to the next level. The power of vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know why we die spiritually? Because we do not have spiritual vision. We cannot see what God can do for us. One day I walked into a church and I was preaching. And I stopped all of a sudden because I could hear a dog whimpering in the middle of the service. But God showed me through a vision, there was a man in there that was tricked or bewitched with the spirit of a dog. He was sitting there and, like a little hound, ooh, 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 like a little dog in the church. But through the power of vision, God showed me that I could see the spirit that was in this man and set him free. But if I didn't see it in the spirit, that man would have died with that spirit that was upon him. How many people in churches today are dying in a spiritual realm because they are bound in their spiritual lives? Your circumstances has brought you to a place where you've gone into a place of ice rather than being hot for God. We need to turn that around this morning. In 1 minute, you can go from cold to hot because God will change that. Amen? Let me move on to the next one. The power of decision. Before I get there, for us to learn some lessons, we need to understand something. The difference between life and school, you get the lesson in school and then you get tested. But in life, you get the test first before you get the lesson. Isn't it? And you know what the problem is? We can't handle the test. It becomes too much. It becomes too powerful. This country has got the highest divorce rate in the world. Do you know why? It's easy for them to break up and walk away from each other rather than to work on their relationships. I pray to God that this church doesn't get there. If you have a problem, sit with your pastor. Two of you get together and chat. Work on that. Fix it. Because let me tell you why. To walk away from something like that, it's a defeat. And the victory is on the devil's side and not on God's side. And you know what God says? What God has put together, let no man put asunder. Don't let the devil come in and destroy you. Don't let him come and take you away from your spiritual duties and your gifts that God wants to give you. Don't let him take you away from the things that God wants to change your life with. Because let me tell you what. When you go through that, it becomes a stigma. It becomes a circular thing that keeps revolving with you. You go out of one relationship, you get into the next one starts to split and break up. You get into the next one goes, I've spoken to somebody in counseling with somebody, 6 different relationships. And she's a Christian. I asked her, where was God in the first one? Where was God in the second one? Where was God in the third one? No, he was nowhere. And yet God is standing outside your relationship waiting to step into your relationship so that he can fix it. Amen? We cannot allow ourselves to go away from this. We need to get to that place and let these lessons become a testimony. Not a test of defeat. You know what? I've gone through that. I can tell you exactly how to overcome it. Come and sit and talk to me. Come and share your story with me because I can show you through the Word of God how God will take you through this situation. And let me tell you this, church, every situation that you're in is a setup for your comeback. And you know, when you come back, you're more powerful than where you were before. Let me tell you why you're more powerful. Because the experience that you've had through that situation teaches you how to stand. And that to stand strong in the Word of God through what you're going to go through the next phase. That's what Paul says. Put on that whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand whatever you've gone through. In Philippians 3 it says this, forgetting that which was behind me. My experience, I forget about it. But when I stand here, I remember that experience and say to myself, I'm not going to let you defeat me this time. The next point, the power of decision. When we go through the power of decision, we need to recognize where we're at. How do you know if somebody's dead in a hospital? Anybody can help me? Is there a nurse here? Somebody else? Anybody? Do you know how somebody's dead in the hospital? They have this ECG machine. You know this machine that they put on them? And that machine's got waves. Alright? Every setback you have in your life is like a wave. It goes up, goes down, keeps going up and down. But when you have a straight line, the doctor walks in and says, time of death, 11:15 a.m. Because you've got a straight line. Amen? You see, a lot of people in their lives, they're quite comfortable, Pastor, with a straight line. We're just going along, you know. Not really. It's not. There's no bumps, no humps, no mishaps, no disappointments, nothing. No, life's just going along fine. I'm okay. I'm on a straight line. But the moment they hit one wave, there's a problem. They get to the top of that wave, they're praising and worshiping and clapping God. When they get down into the wave and they get to the bottom of that wave, it becomes a problem because you can't handle it. It's too much. It becomes stressful. But you know what? I'd rather have waves in my life than to have a straight line. Because straight line means you're dead spiritually. But when you've got waves, it means that God is working on you every time, every moment you're going through. And when you've got these waves, that's when those waves bring you to a point of your knee. Oh yeah. It brings you to a place where you can have a relationship with God and you can talk to Him and tell Him, listen, I'm going through this. God, where are you? And God says, I'm here. You didn't call me. You didn't ask me. And you know what He's saying? Every time you call me, I'm there. This brings me to a joke where I'm working with a whole lot of guys that use these filthy words out of their mouth. And then one day, the one guy said to me, oh God! I stopped in the middle of his conversation. I said, did you call God? He says, why? I said, well, you just said, oh God. I said, well, He's standing next to you. He says, what do you mean? I said, every time you call God, He's at your beck and call. God is there. Do you know that? Have you ever tried calling a dog? Hey, have you? That dog, doesn't matter where he is, he comes running. And he stands there and you ignore him. You carry on having your conversation. Here's this dog standing there waving his tail. You called me, master. Huh? Have you seen that? Have you seen that one with the dog? Some of us treat God like dog. The reverse of His word. Of His name. When we call Him, He comes standing there waiting for you. In the meantime, you've got everybody else around you trying to sort your problem. And you're trying to fix the straight line. And God is saying, hey, you called me, I'm here. Why didn't you talk to me? Have a conversation. You see, the decision we make in our lives, it is so vital, so important for God to understand where you're at. Amen? How many of you have set goals in your life? Come on. I'm going to change your life this morning. How many of you have got goals in your life? Let me share one with you quickly. When I was 49, I was in my own business. And my wife and my children were sitting around the table one day. I said, when I turn 50, I'd like to drive in a brand new Mercedes-Benz C200 Coupe. It must have white seats, white leather seats inside. It must be Cubanite silver on the color on the outside. Now, being a pastor of a church, sometimes that's dangerous. Because the people think you're going to use the church money to buy that car. I've gone through it, don't worry. I know what I'm talking about. But my business was the business that actually funded this whole project. But just as I celebrated my 49th birthday, one of the members of our church came to me and gave me a key to Mercedes-Benz. But Pastor, it was an old 1996 model one. I said, Lord, maybe you're teaching me a lesson. You're giving me an old Mercedes. I thank you, Lord, for the car. And I took the car. I drove the car for a year. Not knowing on my 50th birthday, my wife and my children would present me with the keys to a brand new Mercedes-Benz C200, white interior, Cubanite silver, with the mag wheels that I wanted on that car as my 50th birthday present. Now, why did I share this with you? You see, when you make a decision to serve God and you have the power of vision and you talk to God, God will grant your heart's desires. Hello? How many of you have got goals? Now, let me tell you something. Write those goals down. Some people call it bucket list. Every time it's finished, you throw the one in the bucket. I didn't do that. I wrote these things down and I still have a couple of them that I need to fulfill. But every time I fulfill these lists or these goals that I have, I see the hand of God because of the decision I made to serve Him. Amen? You see, when you come through your setback, the power of the decision you make in that setback is going to determine your action to where you're going to be going. Amen? Now, a lot of us live close to the water, to the sea here. When you go into the harbors, you find a whole lot of these boats. Have you seen them? Yachts, all of these things standing in the jetties. Some of us are like those boats. We're tied to the jetty and we're rowing. I'm on my way. God, I'm moving. I'm really going for it, Lord. I'm doing what you asked me to do. But you didn't unloose yourself from the key. Hello? You're still holding on to your difficulties. You're still holding on to your indifferences. You're still holding on to the problems, the challenges that you've had. You're still holding on to the situations that you've got in your life. And somehow these situations are holding you firm. And you've made a decision to move forward for God, but you haven't dealt with these things behind us. Amen? This morning we need to come to a place, we need to leave our seats, get to the front, and make a decision that I'm going to throw this thing down. I'm not going to hold it any longer because I've had enough. I'm not holding on to it anymore. Amen? And as long as we do that, the decision we make is going to be a powerful decision to move us forward. Amen? What is it that you're going to deal with this morning? What's the problem in holding on to it? You see, sometimes there are sentimental values to the issues that we have in our lives. You have a setback. Now, what have you done about it? You can make a designer of your life, or you can become the victim of your setback. Isn't that right? How many times have I sat with people? Pastor, you probably had the same experience. If only I made a decision and left it behind and moved on. Have you said that? If only. Well, this morning, it's not if only. I am going to get up from where I am and I'm going to deal with that situation. I'm going to leave it behind me. Because the Bible says, bring your burdens and leave them at the cross. You know what some of us do? We come to the cross, we leave our burdens there. And then when we're leaving, we put it back in our rucksack and we take it back with us. I've got a financial problem, a major financial problem, and I'm going to go now, I'm going to leave it at the cross. And then tomorrow morning you go to the bank manager and you're discussing this financial crisis. Let me tell you what, leave it to God to deal with it. Your decision this morning is going to determine your comeback and how powerful you are going to be after that. Your first decision when you're faced with the setback is, how are you going to see it? How are you going to see this decision? Let me tell you what, sometimes this decision is going to hurt you. How's it going to hurt you? It's going to hurt your people around you, your immediate family. Because sometimes your decision means you're going to say no to some of the things that are happening in your life. Are you listening to me, church? But Pastor, how do I say this to my wife? How do I say this to my children? How do I say this to my colleagues? How do I say this to people around me? Like I said to you just now, I work in an environment, every other word that comes out of the people around me is a swear word. I have an office of my own. And one day when these people were busy talking to me, I took the dirt bin from the bottom of my desk. I put it on top of the desk. And these guys continued swearing. And every one of them were talking. I kept grabbing my hand like that, taking from them there and putting it into the bin. So all of a sudden, these four people that were standing in my office stopped and they looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, my ears is not your dirt box. I said, I don't want to hear your filthy words. It's a decision I had to make. And I stood my ground. And let me tell you this, from the day I made that decision, today when they walk into my office, they change their vocabulary. You know why? I'm an anointed servant of God. I'm a child of God. I don't want to hear your rubbish. We are quick to take our setbacks and discuss it with other people. Forget about it. Don't give the devil glory. Tell him to pack up and leave. Today, the state manager respects me because of who I am. You might have to do this in your family. You might have to change situations because that situation you're in will be the setup for your comeback. Amen? Can we do it? Can we do it, church? The doctor says you've got cancer. He didn't diagnose death. He just diagnosed a prognosis. He said, this is the problem. And you know what happens? We walk around as if though that's it, that's the end. I had my gallbladder removed and they did the biopsy in my liver because I've still got a problem with it. And you know what the devil kept ringing in my ears? Maybe it's cancerous. Maybe it's cancerous, but you know what? I did not once declare it with my mouth because the power of the tongue can call upon your life, death or life. I went to a Sunday evening service and this man was preaching. I stood there and I said to myself, Lord, I'm laying my hands on my tummy and I'm asking you right now to fix this thing. Oh yes, I still got pain. I still suffer with pain, but let me tell you what, I'm believing God for a miracle. I'm not walking around telling people, well, you know what, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I'm going to die. This is the end. He divorced me. I can't live anymore. This financial crisis is like a noose. It's hanging me. Nonsense. You can get out of that. How did you get in there? You didn't just fall into it. You walked your way into it. Now work your way out of it because that's your setup for your comeback. Your fallback is not the end. It's the rising from that fallback that will make you powerful. Amen? The decision we make will determine our actions. The next point, the action. When the power of action comes into your life, there are some of the things that you need to do. You need to ask yourself four things. Do a self-assessment. How many of you do that? Do a self-assessment. Come on, talk to me. How many of you do self-assessments? You don't? I do. When I stand in front of the mirror, I count the number of gray hair I got in the front here. Just after my daughter's come and gone back to Busselton. I sometimes count the hair on a Monday morning thinking, my goodness me, what's going to happen? Because I'm in a contracting business where we do civil work and I supply steel for the civil industry. And if the guys haven't produced it, I get this phone call and there's abuse on the phone. Another gray hair comes out. So every morning I do some assessment just to check where I'm at. I also do an assessment of my spiritual life. I tick the boxes to find out exactly where I'm standing with God. Self-assessment is very important when it comes to action. Amen? Because let me tell you what, a lot of us are carrying stock that's dead stock. If you're a storeman, you know what I'm talking about. If you go into any one of these shopping malls and the supermarket, you'll find that the butter that they brought 3 months ago is not in the back of the shelf, it's in the front of the shelf. Do you know why? It's called rotation of stock. So that the 3 months stock butter can be out of that shop and the new stock can come forward. Some of us are Christians, we're compiling ourselves and filling ourselves with a whole lot of spiritual blessings and sitting here suffering with spiritual indigestion. No self-assessment. What you receive, the Bible says, go out and share it with somebody. Now let me tell you this, this is prophetic. These chairs should not be empty in this church. You have a responsibility to go and bring people in here. Action. Self-assessment. Matthew 28:19 says, go you into all the world and preach my gospel, making disciples. So we need to bring people in. Now, but pastor, you see, it's the pastor and his wife. That's their job. We pay them and they must go bring the people in. No, ma'am. No, sir. I've got news for you. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to go out and to tell somebody about Christ. Self-assessment. That's my part of the work. Now, let's go back to my setback. How do I assess my setback? Start from the point where you started with the problem and ask yourself, how did you get into this? What caused you to be there? Amen? Can we do that this morning? Can we do a self-assessment and check ourselves out? Next one. In the power of action, you need to do this. You need to do self-approval. You need to prove yourself that you know that where you are is where you want to be. Is that right? Do I really want to work for this company that I'm with? No. Where do I see myself in 6 months' time? I want to run my own business. So I'll be free to travel and to preach the word and make money for myself, not for somebody else. Self-assessment, self-approval. Self-commitment. How many of us are committed this morning to make sure that we can change our situation around and get out of that setback? How do we get to that setback? How do we get out of that setback? What is it that's so important that we need to do? There's got to be action. How many of you have seen a movie being made? Have you seen a movie being made? Where you've got lights. Then you've got a camera. Amen? And behind the camera is the cameraman. Then you've got a director who's sitting on the director's chair. You've got lights. You've got camera. Action! Nothing happens. What movie do we have? Laurel and Hardy? No. Or Silent Night with no music? What movie do we have? We've got no action. Amen? The only time that that movie can produce what the script has been written for is when the actors get onto the stage and there's some action about it. Amen? When you're in a setback, you need to start to get out of that situation and start to act upon the situation and get forward. We had a lady once walk into my home three years ago. And she said to me, Pastor, I've got cancer. I said, what are you doing about it? She said to me, well, the doctor said that they're going to do certain kind of operations and we're not sure what's going to happen. I then said to her, do you believe that God's going to change your situation? She said, yes. I said, but it's going to take action on your part to stop confessing that you've got cancer and start walking in life. 3 years down the line, I called her about 6 months ago and she says to me, the cancer is in recession and I'm enjoying my life to the fullest. Hello? What was the action? She got up and started to live her life for Christ. Whatever your setback is this morning, you viewed the situation, you've had a good look at it. You made a decision, how are you going to handle that? The action that you're now going to put into place is going to determine your desire to be where you want to be in God. Vidad. The next one, the power of desire. I'm almost finished. In the power of action, one of the things that really touched my heart was a woman by the name of Evangeline Wilkie said this. On the sands of hesitation lay the bones of countless millions who at the dawn of victory sat down and waited to the end of death. You know what a lot of us are doing? We are waiting for the move of God to come. Pastor, in 1980, God came. There was such a revival, we moved with God. In 1990, when God came, there was a move of God. We moved with God. 2000 came, God came, He moved with God. 2012 came, we're still waiting for that move. What changed? The move in the 80s, the move in the 90s, the move in the 2000s, the 2011, 2012 has not changed. It is the same God, yesterday, today, and forever. We need to get up and start to cause this motion. Pastor, the revival is going to start when it starts inside you and it starts inside me. When it starts inside you, when it starts inside of me. When it starts inside of you, when it starts inside of you, when it starts inside of you, when it starts inside of you. And the only way this is going to become is when you're going to become active. Amen? How many of you are thinking of losing weight? I am. Oh, I'm working on it so hard. Pastor, I run around the block and I push it under the bed. Is that action? No. You can forget about it. You're not going to lose any weight. The only weight you're going to lose is around your eyebrows. But you know what? If you get active and start to put action into that motion, you will see the desired effect of that action. Hello? My doctor said to me, if you run 15 minutes on the treadmill, spend 15 minutes on that, what you call this machine that goes, what, cardio twister? I said, yeah, we've got all of that in our garage. We bought all of those things. They're all packed away very nicely. They look beautiful as ornaments. And I look like a good ornament as well. You see, the problem is, if you want action and if you really want to see some real six-packs, I'm glad you smiled there, brother. You see, the thing is, there's only one way that action is going to come, if you get off your butt and really do something about it. Amen? No, but our pastor is such a firebrand. He prays nonstop. He prays for me. But you don't pray for yourself. What action are you going to get? Nothing. He's going to be moving to the next level, and you'll be standing here looking at him. Pastor, why didn't you take me up there? And yet he called you to that Friday night prayer meeting, and you didn't rock up. So who lost out? You did. The power of action will move you from your setback. The power of vision will bring you to a place where you will see what that setback has done to you. The decision you make in that setback will activate your action inside of you and move you to the next level that will bring you to a place where you will see your desire. The last one, the power of desire. How many of you are desirous of change this morning? How many of you want to change? You want to get out of that situation. You don't want to be there anymore. Now this is what it says. Let's take responsibility for it. How do I take responsibility? It's not my fault. Have you heard that? Have you heard people say that? This is not my fault. I didn't bring this upon myself. He left. He saw another woman and left. So divorce, I didn't bring this divorce upon my life. This discouragement, I didn't bring it upon myself. This depression, I didn't bring it upon myself. The Bible says, think on these things which are pure. Think on these things which are holy. Think on these things which are good. And the moment we stay ourselves in that level where we are spiritually occupied in the things of God, we won't get to the place where we need to take depression tablets. We won't get to a place of discouragement, because let me tell you something else. Doesn't matter what the devil throws by you, because you've got a shield around you. The Bible says he's our shield and our butler. He's our guide. He protects me from day to day. And so why should these things that are out there bring me down, the external problems? Why should they pull me down? Well, Pastor, I'm human, you know. I know you're human. But you deal with it in the human and allow the spiritual to take over. Amen? But you know what a lot of us do? We want to deal this with the human and forget about the spiritual. God is saying, you can do nothing without me. But then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Christ who strengthens me. So what's your setback? Are you ready for a comeback? Are you set up for something that's going to change you? The power of desire. Say this with me. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Whoa, I can see these people are hungry for lunch. Let's start again. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. I had the president of Botswana, Festus Mokgai, one day call me. He said, Dr. Naidoo, how are you doing? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. He says, do you mind if I use that cliche in my speech? I said, you're welcome. And do you know, every time I saw that Festus Mokgai after that, the first thing he said to me, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. You know why? Because that's my slogan. I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Now, if you're blessed and highly favored, should you be walking around like you drank a bucket of lemon juice in the morning? Huh? Have you seen people? Oh, Pastor, I'm so blessed and highly favored. You know, life is so boring. Everything around me is falling to pieces. But, you know, Pastor, I'm blessed and highly favored. What testimony is that? Hello? You walk to work and the people talk to you. This is like a Blue Monday. I'm trying to find the Blue Monday. I don't know where they found this word, Blue Monday. Has anybody seen a Blue Monday? Every day that God has created is a day of blessing and a rejoicing. It's a day full of the beauty of the things of God. And we need to rejoice in that. And every time you see these people, this is a Blue Monday for me. I said, oh, where did you find the color? Who painted it? You see, the power of vision, you can only see what you want to see. You don't need to see it as a Blue Monday. You can see it as something different and say, Lord, I'm thankful that this morning has risen because I've got life and I want to worship you. What is our desire? Proverbs says this, delight yourself in the things of God and He will grant the desires of our heart. What is the desire? 3 John says, above all things, that your soul be well, you prosper. Joshua 1 says this, that you shall have good success. Is our life successful? Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't want to know what you're going through. Tell me what you're going to do about fixing it. Amen? How many of you can fix your yesterdays? How many of you can fix it? There's only one way you can fix your yesterdays. Is putting Tippex over it. You know the correcting fluid? I was talking to one lady in our office and she said to me, why have you got all of these white things on your screen? I said, well, I was fixing my mistakes from yesterday. You see, you can't fix your mistakes from yesterday. It's over. It's finished. Your today is here already. But what you can do for your tomorrow is make a comeback of the best that you ever made in your life. Amen? Amen? So is that disappointment, that setback going to bring you down? Can you put that last one up there, please, baby? There we go. Vision, decision, action, desire. Setbacks, challenges, and difficulties. What are we going to do about that circle in the middle? Can we raise that circle in the middle? Can we change that situation in the middle? You've got four opponents fighting one little ring in the center. Can that circle in the center win? Hello? Come on, somebody tell me. Can it win? Oh, yes, it does. We allow it to. We allow that circle to overcome us. And yet, it is one against four. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and myself. Four of us can deal with that situation. Can we? How's your difficulties? Is it heavy? What about your challenges? Are there something that you're prepared to work with? And let me ask you this. What about the setbacks? Well, you know, for 15 years I've been carrying this setback. I don't mind sharing this, and sometimes when I say it, I break into a tear, but tonight, this morning, I'll share it with you. I've never had a beautiful relationship with my father. Even the day when they laid his body to rest, I wasn't at the side of the graveside or even at the funeral, because it was too heavy for me to carry that pain. I moved out of South Africa and I came into Australia until one morning I was sitting in church. And our minister was preaching. And he said something. And he said, if you don't deal with it, it's not going to do any good for you, because it'll mess up your ministry, it'll mess up who you are, it'll mess up your life. I got up that morning and I walked to the front 2 years ago. And I made my peace. I fell on my knees and I said, Lord, forgive me for holding this against my father, my physical father, my biological father. And you know what? From that day, I had peace in my spirit. This morning, in 1 minute, you can change your situation. Just in 1 minute. 1 minute. Can I have 1 minute of your time? Now let's put that last one up there, girl. This is what I want you to do. Because I'm a special person, I have my sense of myself. And it's not for sale. Hello? Are you prepared to sell your soul this morning? No. Because I know who I am. You know the songwriter says? I know who I am. I know who I am. Who are you? You are a special child of God. The second one says, and it's not for sale. I know who I am. And I refuse to fail. Hello? Some people say our permanent lives are failures. You will amount to nothing. You like your father. Your father has been a failure. His father was a failure. His father's father was a failure. You'll be a failure. And that curse is living with you. This morning I want to break that curse. You don't need to be like your father. You don't need failure in your life. You need success. I've got the power to succeed. Do you have the power to succeed? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says this. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon me, I will be powerful. So can any situation overtake me? The answer is no. I'm filled with the power of God. You know, I walk into boardroom meetings and I sit with the executives and I talk to them. They think that I'm a well-educated person. But you know what? Because of the power of God in me, I'm so successful in the things that I do. Let me tell you why. Because I know who I am in God. Let's go on. And it says, and in the spirit of faith, I've got all that I need. Do you have all that you need? If you haven't, this morning is your turn. You can get everything. And it won't cost you anything. All it will cost you is 1 minute of your time to say, Lord, I'm laying my burdens at the cross. And I'm stepping forward with a comeback of a real fighter. Doesn't matter what the devil pours my way, I'm going to knock him out. I'm going to become successful in the things that I do. A blessing in disguise as evidence of the things not yet seen. You know what I see in the spirit? I see a lot of successful people in this church. Now, nobody wants to agree with me. I said, I see a lot of successful people in this church. Can you see yourself as successful? Then close your eyes and bow your heads and stand with me this morning. Brother, would you come in? Because I'm special, I have a sense of self. And it's not for sale, devil. I want you to hear me. I know who I am. I refuse to fail. I know who I am. I've got the power to succeed and the spirit of faith. I've got all that I need. I'm a blessing in disguise. Now let me ask you something. How many of you are ready for a comeback? If you are, it'll take 1 minute of your time. I want you to leave your seat and run to the front. Come to the front quickly. Quickly. Come and join me quickly. Quickly. Oh, yes. Bless you, Lord. Come on. Oh, yeah. I want you just to bow your heads, close your eyes, lift your hands up. You believe God's going to touch you this morning? The devil must hear your voice this morning. He must know you mean business. Because this is the day of a real comeback. Pastor, we're going to have people that are powered with the power of God. We're going to people that are going to speak in tongues. They're going to speak out boldly because they know that there's a change in their lives. That setback is no longer a setback. That sickness is no longer a sickness. That pain is no longer pain. That hurt is no longer hurt because today I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to tell that financial need that I have, this is the end. It's a full stop. God, you're going to make provision. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Dear God. Come on, let me hear you. Dear God. I stand before you. With a heart that is needful. You know my setback this morning. God, it might be more than one. But I deal with it this morning. By bringing it to the cross. I trust you this morning. That as I lay it at the cross. I'm no failure. You made no disappointment in me. The day you molded me in my mother's womb, you made a success story. And Lord, this morning, I could be the Lucille Ball. I could be the Martin Luther King. I could be Apostle Paul. And Father, I could be that woman with the issue of blood. Because I need you this morning. Come on, church. I need you this morning. I need you this morning. Because my strength is weak. But when I put myself into you, my weakness becomes your strength. My weakness becomes your strength. My disappointment becomes your happiness. My discouragement becomes your encouragement. Because, Father, this morning, I trust you as I deal with my setback. And I make this comeback. Because the VDAD formula is going to work in my life. The power of vision. I can see where I've come from. And I can see where I'm going to. Because of my eyes being opened spiritually. The decision I make this morning is a powerful one, Lord. Because by faith, I step forward. By faith, I step forward into your presence. Lord, my action is, I'm going to move. I'm not going to sit still. I'm not going to wait for something to happen. But you said, draw nigh unto me, and you will draw nigh unto me. I'm coming to you this morning. With such heartache, with such pain, I believe you. My desire this morning is that you will make me successful. You will make me a trophy that will stand out and others will see Christ in me. And because of this, I will serve you faithfully. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning I pronounce a blessing over every confession. I pray a blessing over every life. I trust you, God, for I know this morning there are many that are standing here that are being touched right now. And God, you are tearing down, you're pulling down strongholds. And you're breaking bondages this morning. And Father, those difficulties, those setbacks, those challenges will no longer exist because of who you are and what you're going to do in our lives. We trust you for it this morning. I thank you for it, O God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to say this with me, and I want you to say this loud and really bold. I believe this building can hold the sound. I am a victor, not a victim. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. I'm moving on, not backwards. This is the day God has made, and I'm going to change my life. I'm no longer a loser. I'm a winner. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Satan, I want you to hear me. No more do you have residence or you've got permission over my life. Because this is the day I'm changed, I'm filled, I'm empowered to go forward in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands together and give God the glory. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Is there anybody here that needs prayer for sickness? You're sick and you want me to pray with you. And the others can take their seats, but if you're sick, if you can just step forward quickly, I'll pray with you.
Ooh, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and heal your disease. Oh yeah, I am the Lord your healer. I am the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth